So welcome to this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. I consider it my deep honor and privilege to be able to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, and in particular during this week where we are focusing our classes on the upcoming Winter Book Marathon. In this community in Bhaktivedanta Manor, we have legends. And we have veterans, previous and current, in this great service of book distribution. So I feel particularly humbled because I've been asked to speak, I've been given this opportunity even among the presence of such great devotees. So I hope I can do justice to these great souls by speaking some words worthy and befitting of them. We were also given the liberty as speakers to choose our own verse to speak on. So I've selected one verse from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the tenth chapter. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. So please repeat after me. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Purport. In this regard, a very exalted example was given by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.34, Twakta Sudast Yaja Surepsita Raja Lakshmin Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yad Agad Aranyam Mayam Rigram Dayita Yep Sitam Anvavad Vande Mahapurusha Te Charana Charana Navindam. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. He left his householder life, leaving aside his eternal consort, whom even the demigods of heaven adore. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls who are put into illusion by material energy. To accept sannyas means to commit civil suicide. But sannyas is compulsory, at least for every brahmana, every first-class human being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very young and beautiful wife and a very affectionate mother. Indeed, the affectionate dealings of his family members were so pleasing that even the demigods could not expect such happiness at home. Nevertheless, for the deliverance of all the fallen souls of the world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left home when he was only 24 years old. He lived a very strict life like a sannyasi, refusing all bodily comforts. Similarly, his disciples, the six Goswamis, were ministers who held exalted positions in society, but they also left everything to join the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivasacharya says, Twakta turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatuch javat Budva dina ganeshako karunaya kopina kantash ritao. These Goswamis left their very comfortable lives as ministers. Zamindas and learned scholars left the lives as ministers, zamindars and learned scholars and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. just to show mercy to the fallen souls of the world. Dina Ganeshako Karunaya. Accepting very humble lives as mendicants, wearing no more than loincloths and torn quilts, Kopina Kanta. They lived in Vrindavan and followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to excavate Vrindavan's glories. Similarly, everyone else with a materially comfortable condition in this world should join the Krishna consciousness movement to elevate the fallen souls. The words Bhuta Dayaya, Mayam Rigram, Daita Yepshitam, and Dina Ganeshako Karunaya all convey the same sense. These are very significant words for those interested in elevating human society to a proper understanding of life. One should join the Krishna consciousness movement following the examples of such great personalities as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and before them the great sage Dadichi. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should always be prepared to give up one's life for better causes. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it for the glory of distributing religious principles throughout the world. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scham E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. So I thought this was a nice verse to choose for two reasons. One, it glorifies so wonderfully the preachers and the book distributors of the Krishna consciousness movement. And it also serves as nice inspiration for those of us who before the marathon face different types of mental and physical challenges before going out. So the context of this verse is most interesting. So there was a demon named Vritrasura, extremely powerful, and the demigods had tried to battle against Vritrasura, but they failed miserably. And when they become desperate in such situations, they turn to the Lord. So they went to the Lord seeking some assistance on how to overcome the seemingly impossible task of defeating Vritrasura. And the Lord gave them a very simple solution, apparently simple solution. You make a thunderbolt from the bones from someone. And he said, there is a great sage, his name is Dadichi. He's very liberal and compassionate by nature. And if you go and ask him for his bones, he will give it. And then you can make your thunderbolt, and then you can defeat Vritrasura. The demigods were taken aback. Who would be so liberal to give their own bones? But anyway, they were advised by the Lord, and taking that advice, they approached the Dichi. And the Dichi, first he smiled and he said, in this material world, every living entity is very much addicted to the material body. Struggling to keep his body forever, everyone tries to protect it by all means, even at the sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who would be prepared to deliver his body to anyone, even if it were demanded by Lord Vishnu? So he was playing with them. He was prepared to give up his bones. And he's saying, because this is the nature, you know, we are so attached to our body. Mother Devahuti, in the third canto, speaking to Lord Kapila, he says, it seems almost impossible for the living entity to part with his material body. And then the demigods, they appeal to Dadichi. He said, no. Those who are compassionate, they are prepared to give up everything, even their own body, for a good cause. And Dadichi said, okay, you convinced me. Here you go. He meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord, gave up his body and said, you can have my bones. So in civilization, we get three types of people. The first type of person considers that they are the possessor of the body. This body belongs to me. This body is meant for my enjoyment. And the majority of civilization fall in that class. And then we get the great transcendentalists. Such great personalities, they do not consider the body as belonging to themselves. This body belongs to others and should be used in the service of others. And then we have someone in the middle category. Sometimes they think the body belongs to them, and sometimes they think, oh, the body belongs to others and should be used for others. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes three personalities who fall into the category who are prepared to give their body up completely for the good of others. The first personality Srila Prabhupada quotes is the Lord Himself, who came as a devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada writes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was young, he was beautiful. He had a very beautiful wife, most affectionate mother. According to material standards, he had everything. But at the age of 24, he simply gave everything up. For what reason? To benedict the fallen suffering souls of this Kali Yuga with Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada quotes the six Goswamis. They were very aristocratic personalities, born in high class Brahmin families, who later took on very high posts as ministers of finance and prime ministers in the government. But they also gave that up simply to wear a simple piece of loincloth. And why? To write transcendental literatures and to offer service to the fallen conditioned souls. And then lastly, Srila Prabhupada talks about those who sacrifice their lives for distributing religious principles throughout the world. So this is in our Krishna consciousness philosophy, this principle of seeing the body as not belonging to ourselves, but belonging to others and to be used for others, as a very important state of consciousness. And this is echoed so many times in our scripture. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one famous important verse from the 8th canto, text number 44. Tapyante lokatapina sadava prayosho janaha param aradhanam taddi purushash akilam atmanaha. And the translation of this verse is, it is said that great personalities always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. So what is the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the greatest of all Shastras? The highest method is to voluntarily accept suffering for people in general. So this is an important, very important point. In one lecture in New Vrindavan, I'm trying to quote this now. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada asks a question. He says, what is the symptom of love? And he's asking this question in the context of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the symptom of love? What is the prime symptom of love? What is the most important symptom of love? And what is the answer Prabhupada gave? Does anyone know? I'll tell you. Prabhupada said, the symptom, the prime symptom, the most important symptom of love is that the devotee wants to see his Lord's name, fame, etc. become widespread. He wants to see that my Lord's name be known everywhere. That is love. If I love somebody, I want to see his glories are spread all over the world. What a unique perspective of love Srila Prabhupada is giving. And this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, and right after that verse, Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Na cha tasman manasyeshu kaschin me priya kritat maha bhavita na cha me tasmat anyaha priyataro bhuvi. Where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. This is the principle taught by the Lord. In the 10th canto, there's a very nice pastime where Lord Krishna is with all of his coward boyfriends. And then Lord Krishna is looking at the trees in Vrindavan, in the forest. And when he looks at these trees, he praises them. And then he says, looking at the trees, he says, it is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. And then, in one beautiful lecture Srila Prabhupada gives on the 48th verse of the 8th chapter of the first canto, this is a verse that was spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthir. When Maharaj Yudhisthir says, "O my lot, I am the most sinful man. Just see my heart, which is full of ignorance. This body, which is ultimately meant for others, has killed many, many phalanxes of men." And Prabhupada speaks on this verse, and it's one of my favorite lectures, given in 1974 in Sri Mayapur Dham. And in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada makes some compelling arguments by which we can understand that this body does not belong to us. This body belongs to others. And Prabhupada says, before we are born, while we are existent, and after we leave this world, it's clear the body does not belong to us. And Prabhupada says, before you were born, the ingredients which make up your body, they were there. But they belong to someone else. They were not yours. So how can you claim the body to be yours? And then Prabhupada says, when you are born, your body is the creation of your mother and father. When someone creates something, who does the created item belong to? To the creator. So how can you claim this body to be yours? It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your mother and father. Then he says, you grow up. You work. You give your body to some Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So we give our body to some person who pays us, just like we go to work. And when we are at the office, we simply have to do as demanded by us, to us, by the people who pay us. You can't do what you want. So during that time, the body belongs to the people we work for. And as we live, Prabhupada then quotes the example. A person may get conscripted by the army of the government. Come, fight for the country. Your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to this country. So you fight for your country and you lay your body down for the country. And then we die. The body becomes either dust of the earth, it becomes the food for the maggots, or in the Parsi community, it becomes food for the vultures. So Prabhupada says, look at it from any angle. This body does not belong to us. So an intelligent person understands that the body does not belong to us. Ultimately, the body belongs to Krishna. The body belongs to Krishna. So the body should be used in the service of Krishna. And those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, they understand this important fact. And thus, they always utilize their body for the benefit of others. And this is the mood of the preachers of Krishna consciousness. This is the mood of the book distributors. This body doesn't belong to me. It's going to be taken any time away from me. Let me use it. Let me use it. And therefore, with this consciousness, a book distributor transcends the bodily platform of life. And a book distributor can stand on a street for 9 hours or more in the cold with little food, can be take insults, but still with a compassionate heart, reach out to people and offer them transcendental knowledge. And for those of us who struggle, you know, many times I meet devotees and they say, you know, ask me to do deity service. Ask me to wash the toilet. Ask me to sweep the temple. Ask me to do any service. But please don't put me on the street to ask someone to take a book. It's just too difficult. It's beyond me. I just can't take it. I can't take it. But when we consider, you know, these spiritual facts, you know, as given to us by the great teachers of the world, we can understand. And the service of book distribution, actually, it's a very high service. One who takes on the service of distributing transcendental knowledge in the forms of books, we become ambassadors. Normally, to become an ambassador of a country, one needs to be, you know, of a certain level of qualification. Yet, anyone with no prior qualification, they can become ambassadors of this great, great service. And this service is so great, as Kartik Chandra Prabhu so nicely explained in his class on Saturday, that even the greatest of all the devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan, they praise this. Tava katam ritam tapta jivanam kavi biriditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi grinantiye ye buridhajana. Buridhajana, the gopi says, magnanimous are those souls who preach this message which can bring immediate relief to the suffering souls. So this service of book distribution, it offers us, in terms of our own spiritual lives, as Antaranga Prabhu has nicely compiled our theme for this year's marathon, which is purify, beautify, and to give life. Purify, beautify, and give life. This is the theme of our marathon. Book distribution not only purifies the recipient, but it purifies the giver. Book distribution not only beautifies the recipient, but it beautifies the giver. And book distribution does not only give life to the recipient, but it gives life to those who are giving. So it's a beautiful theme we have for this year's marathon. And in our own spiritual lives, it allows us to make, you know, that step and that surrender that we are all seeking. Recently, I was speaking to Varshana Mataji, and she was telling me how in a class, Shivaram Swami had said, you won't find Krishna in your comfort zone. If you're looking for Krishna and you want to find him, you won't find him in the comfort zone. We'll only find Krishna in that zone which we go outside our comfort. And again, this period of the Winter Book Marathon, it allows us this rare opportunity by which we can come out of our comfort zone and try to benedict the others. Now, I just wanted to say a few things about the condition of the world, and I wanted to read a very nice extract I recently came upon. We all know that the world currently is in a very, very bad place. Besides the way in which the COVID-19 has ravaged the world, we now have this very, very great challenge of climate change, where the scientists of the world have declared that if there is a change in 1.5 degrees in the Earth's temperature, the impact on this world will be irreversible. And the world as we know and experience it at the moment will become completely different, a much more difficult place. So now, you know, more than ever, the suffering of the living entities in this world is being felt. And we hear that how book distribution, if we go out and distribute books, this can change the world. And oftentimes devotees struggle to make the connection. How will books change the world? I wanted to read to you a very interesting conversation with Srila Prabhupada and a disciple. Prabhupada said, "The time will come when people are searching for leadership." And I think that time is now. "They will want it so badly, and they will see that the Hare Krishna devotees are perfect. They have qualities, spiritual qualities, that are so obvious that they will turn to them, and they will be a Hare Krishna government." I asked Prabhupada, "How will this happen? Is it going to happen by a vote of the population? Is it going to happen by a revolution? A small group of people take over? There are different ways that government changes. Are people going to literally join the Hare Krishna movement? Sorry, the typing is, I just lost. Religion, and that's always going to happen?" I was thinking, why else would they vote for us? Prabhupada said that this would come about not in the way we thought. No. It's not necessary that people are going to become Hare Krishna devotees. And therefore, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of them are going to vote us into power. And it's not going to be a revolution by a small group. It is going to be, and this is it, by the mass population wanting it. However, they are not necessarily going to be Hare Krishna devotees. But they will desire it because something spiritual has awakened in them. And they can stay in their own faith. They can be Christians, Jews, or whatever they are. Prabhupada said that that day would come. I said, "Prabhupada, how is that going to happen?" I was with Adi Shori at the time. Prabhupada said, "That is the Sankirtan movement." He also elaborated that it was not just the chanting of the holy name, but book distribution. That was the real ultimate effect of book distribution. We asked Prabhupada very specifically if the book distribution created some kind of a subtle spiritual atmosphere in the world. Because even though we gave out millions of books, millions of people were not joining from taking those books. Prabhupada said that that is exactly what it is or was. The benefit of taking these books and hearing in public the chanting of the holy name on Harinam Sankirtan was and is creating and will create a spiritual environment that will awaken souls, whatever their denomination. That was the most powerful realization that Prabhupada shared with us about book distribution. So, Prabhupada is saying, by the impact of Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution, a spirituality is going to awaken in people. This is going to be the profound effect of the books. And when this spirituality awakens in people, like now they will vote for any common person with no qualifications. When that spirituality awakens, then their discretion will awaken. They will immediately see there are people who are spiritual. There are people who can lead us. And that's when they will vote for the Hare Krishna devotees. Amazing vision, isn't that, of Srila Prabhupada? So therefore, and I also read recently where one devotee is saying, but Prabhupada, you know, we've distributed so many books. People have the books, but it just sits on their shelf. What is the use? And many devotees says, yeah, you know, now we distributed so many books, let's go and cultivate people. Let's focus on cultivation and forget this going after marathons and distributing. I once asked Vaisheshika Prabhu that. And he said, there's a point of critical mass. And that point of critical mass is when there is mass distribution. And he said, we are nowhere even close to mass distribution. We're nowhere even close to the critical mass. We still have to flood the world with transcendental literature. There's a lot to do. And then Prabhupada said, even if the book sits on their shelf, even if they are not reading it, even if they simply look and they say, that looks like a nice book. Even if they keep that book in their home, the effect, the potency of that book will impact that home, will impact that person's life. And that will have a positive effect on the world. So I'll conclude by one statement that Prabhupada made. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada arrived in the airport. I can't remember which airport it was. But Prabhupada, he gave a lecture. And in that lecture, he explained to his disciples the power of applying the Guru's order. And Prabhupada said, if you simply think, How can I do? Simply this, if you practically cannot do, but if you simply think, how can I do? Oh, then you will become liberated. Then you also become liberated. And what to speak of when we actually do. So this is a nice meditation for our marathon. Many of us feel immobilized. Oh, it's so daunting. How am I going to do it? Simply if we think of, as Prabhupada says, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? We become liberated. So let us meditate for this marathon. How can I do? How can I do? How can I do? I'll just speak about one particular goal this year. I know Vaisheshika Prabhu says goals are arbitrary, and to a large extent it's arbitrary. But this year we have one arbitrary goal, but it's also got some reason behind it. This year is the 125th appearance anniversary of Srila Prabhupada. One of our goals is to reach out or proposition 125,000 people during this marathon. We want to reach out to 125,000 people and say, here is a book. Would you like to take it? That could mean 1,000 people, or 125 people trying to approach 1,000 people, either by Facebook, social media, on the street, door to door, WhatsApp, whatever. Let's see if we can reach a proposition 125,000 people during the 24 days of this marathon. Please take a literature and see how it will change your life. So there's so much else that could be said. I think it's an appropriate time to stop now and take any questions or comments anyone may have. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prayojan Prabhu.
To leave the Bhagavad Gita out where I was reading it. She wasn't interested in reading it, but curiosity got the better of it, because I always saw that somehow she'd been looking at it while I took rest. And so it's leaving an opportunity, whatever the situation, for somebody, even out of curiosity, they may pick it up and look inside. So it's a good thing just to even have it in the house, because it still leads people's curiosity, and they're nosy by nature. Do you see what I mean? Other people's business. So that's what occurs to me, is using human nature too to grasp it. Okay.
Thank you for that comment. Hare Krishna, Govinda Prabhu, Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I've often wondered, nowadays a lot of people, instead of using books, they have Kindles and iPhones with all the Prabhupada stuff. Is it also true to say that if you've got a Kindle, it's kind of somehow affecting your whole environment like a book will?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I also had thought about it. It's the knowledge and it's the words that have the potency, isn't it? So if the knowledge and those words is even in a gadget, somehow or the potency must be there. Potentiality, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry?
What if you delete the file?
Oh, yeah.
Is it still have the potency from? Because it used to be there, so it's still there. Anyway.
I don't know. I guess the same one as someone says you burned the book. Yeah. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the wonderful class. Very, very important point. I find that our body should be definitely utilized for the service. One question I have, if you can share any tips when the morale and when the dedication, when the vision, when the faith is kind of slowly diminishing, as we know that marathon progresses, the body becomes more and more difficult for the body, especially for those which go every day on a regular basis. So how can we overpower the body with our mind, with our intelligence, with our spiritual dedication? If you can share any tips, how we can keep the vision on the goal.
I don't know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about the austerity of the mind. And it's really the mind that brings us down, isn't it? In situations like this, the mind brings us back to the bodily platform. So Krishna talks about the austerity of the mind. And Krishna says, one keeps the mind always austere. You know what Krishna says? He says, you can keep the mind austere by always being satisfied. And Prabhupada says, how do we always ensure that we are satisfied? Prabhupada says, by doing good for others. So just carry on doing it. And by doing good for others, and that's very clearly said in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the austerity of the mind is to be satisfied. And Prabhupada says in the purport, how do you be satisfied? Is by doing good for others. So just by carrying on doing it, the mind's influence will overcome. That's just something I read. I'm not sure if any of the other devotees who have the experience could share their own realizations.
Just the practical point, each one of us has a capacity for how much we can do. So if you get enough rest, then we can actually just carry on. But if you try to artificially take less than you can manage, then your mind's going to play lots of tricks on you because your intelligence won't work anymore. So you have to work out a proper balance so that you can be determined. So,
thank you for that, Ruben Prabhu. Thank Krishna.
I have a small Sankirtan story.
Yes.
Well, 12 years ago, maybe 13 years ago, I was out with Dhananjaya Prabhu and in Beaconsfield service area. And I met very nice gentleman who was smiling like, looked like a moon. And dressed very nicely, and he was heading to London for some meetings, an engineer. And so he took a Bhagavad Gita from me and gave me £20 donation. Do you want to know who is that gentleman? I was Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu.
Yeah, I remember that day. And then Dhananjaya Prabhu said, oh, take a Bhagavad Gita from me too. I said, oh, but Prabhu, I only had £20 and I gave that to Vishwambar Prabhu. He said, I know there's an ATM there. Let's go to the ATM. And he walked me all the way to the ATM. I withdrew some money and I gave it to him.
And afterwards, Vrindavana Chandra Prabhu said, you know, I better don't stop on this service area anymore. I'll go and have my breakfast in my office.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions from anyone? Yes, Taran Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just to go back to this format in which you get a book, like either electronic or paper, Krishna manifests in any line. It is not like, you know, the same as he was manifesting before on the leaf palms, manifests in books, now manifests in electronic form also. So wherever is Krishna, this is like place of pilgrimage. This is not ordinary Kindle or ordinary mobile phone. It's Krishna. Only thing is that in book you can find only what is in book. In mobile phone you can find all kinds of things. But Kindle format, I mean, I have to admit that I read much, much more since I have Kindle. It's very easy to take with you. So nobody will carry heavy books with them, only if they're at home. How much time people spend at home now? Not much. So in this Kindle format, wherever they go, they can read the books. So this is very catchy, and I think that this kind of format of books is also very powerful, not just hard books.
True.
It's cheaper as well.
Yes.
So,
therefore, you see, most of the books at the moment, we have a code where the person can also download the electronic version of the book. Because most people, and I do it personally, I keep electronic and hard copies of books. Because there's certain times the hard copy is just...
That's home, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like and then soft copy is portable, you know?
People want the free hands.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. Thank you for that comment. Yeah. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you very much, everyone. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Winter Book Marathon 2021 Ki Jai. Go Premanandi Hari Ribo. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.